JQ already eating Thanksgiving food. That's why he's late,
huh? Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, here we go. Greg Popovich grabbed the microphone tonight. Yeah, he did. You don't live in Cleveland, live in San Antonio.
I love it. Man, that's how you open up, kind of the pre-Thanksgiving situation here. We're supposed to be thankful for a lot of things, but here we are. I do have to say that this week's episode is brought to you by Gary Chandeliers. If you need a chandelier, reach out to Gary Schaefer. He will be your guy. So just to let you know that this is how the show is being sponsored, and we are ready to get this party started for sure. So there you go.
But we have two sponsors.
Uh-oh. Okay.
We're also sponsored by Carnation Milk. Carnation Milk. The best in the land. It comes in a tin with a red and white band. No tips to pull or hay to pitch. Just crack it open and drink the son of a bitch.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
I love it. Good stuff. So
only on Blog Talk Radio you can have an ad like that.
Right.
I love it. And that's crazy stuff, too. I definitely remember Carnation, that little, bring it back.
I know, right? That's a throwback.
That is definitely a throwback.
Yeah, just talk to your people bringing them out for all their Thanksgiving dishes. Oh, baking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Well, that's where
this party started.
I saw one in our, in our cupboard, I guess, for pies or whatever. And then I saw this lady, say this Carnation Milk thing, and she said that little quote. So I wrote it down and thought I would spread the Carnation joy.
You were ready. You were ready to. You were ready for that on the show tonight, huh?
So, let's check in. So, America, again, we're having fun. Like I said, just a little pre-Thanksgiving blog talk show for everyone. We're going to wait for JQ to join us shortly, but let's get this party started. Gary, since you are on screen, I'm going to check in with you. How is everything going in your world, sir?
Hey, doing great. It's going to be just Mom and I and Arnetta this year, so that'll be different. But we're going to have a good time. We've got a lot to be thankful for. And, as we reflect back on the year and just how we've been blessed, those of us here on the show every week to be able to be together and help of our families, these sort of things. These are huge blessings, so I'm very grateful.
Absolutely. Rob Ford.
Yeah, I totally echo those sentiments. Thankful to be doing this show with you guys each and every week. It's always a lot of fun. I always look forward to it. You guys are my brothers, so, certainly appreciate doing this each and every week. I know it's late sometimes, and we all have busy schedules, and we squeeze it in, but it's always fun to get together and having this time with you all. So thank you for our friendship. Thank you for our brotherhood, and thank you for the fun that we have on this show. So, yeah, a lot to be thankful for sure.
Yeah, and just echo both you guys, and it's crazy.
And after the holidays, I think that, since Rob's back and forth all the time between you know, Tampa and Atlanta. I'll come up to Atlanta. We should get together and just all of us do the show live all together. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I would love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We should definitely make that happen. And it's sad, too. Like, even though Rob is here, I don't know, we just haven't had a chance to connect just yet because schedule and whatnot, too. So hopefully we'll make that happen.
I just talked to Gina about that recently, too, that we got to hook up with you and Marcy and go out to dinner. So hopefully we'll make that happen soon, hopefully sometime in December.
Yeah, like I said, you know, Tuesday through Thursday are pretty much open for me if I'm not prepping for a gig. But, you know, pretty much we can squeeze something in, and definitely thankful for you and, you know, everyone. And it's crazy, Rob, I looked at the first show, I think it said 2011, whenever the blog talk, whenever I looked at the first episode, too. So, you know, that's crazy the first time I think of how far we've been doing this. We've been going pretty strong, you know, so that's, you know, whenever we kind of had the first show, whenever for Blog Talk, too. So, you know, we've had some shows for Cali and back and forth, and, you know, just whenever me and you first started, we didn't think it was going to evolve the way that it's evolved and evolved.
So we've been on the air longer than Mike and Mike in the morning.
that's something, that's saying something for sure. Yeah, it's great. It's great. We've been having fun, and like you said, it's just I still have some old emails, Rob, from all your mocks and stuff like that too. A lot of your mock drafts that you've had, you know, like, hey, this is the mock draft, you know. So I'll pull some out just to kind of tickle your fancy, man, because it's gonna be crazy how we were calling certain things, and just we've been doing that for a minute too. So it's been fun to say the least too. So, but anyway, we got a couple things to get to. We had a lot of great topics. We appreciate and putting them together, so we're gonna wait for hopefully Jake will be joining us shortly. But really quickly, we're gonna fill out the numbers. If you wanna reach out to your boys, always call in the same number. It's the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, or not Twitter, X. I was getting good at that, which is at the number 12 Man Sports. And then we are also on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports12man. Or 12th Man Sports. And Rob, thank you for posting the top 60 prospects too on that too. So I saw the post. So we always do a lot of fun things on that as well. So yeah, let's get this party started here. So we're gonna always start out with the NFL because the NFL is king of this issue. And yeah, the Chargers are gonna place Joey Bosa on IR. And but again, he's still possible from the season. But again, the hits keep coming for Brandon Staley, right? He's not getting any breaks at all, man. And, you know, at this juncture, I probably think, unless a miracle happens, I don't know if he's going to keep that job with the Chargers. It's just not looking good. But I know Robbie kind of diving out what's going on with the Chargers and kind of, you know, how that's playing out. Good news is that Las Vegas already has a team, so, you know, their Chargers aren't going anywhere. But it's just hilarious how everything happens with that, too. But let's talk about the Chargers and what's going on with that. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at this Chargers, you know, team, when you look at them on paper, I mean, it's still on surface, even like it's still a very talented team, and they're 4-6, and they've lost a lot of close games this year, of course, but if you're a winning football team, you got to find a way to win those games. I mean, it don't get any easier for them this Sunday night at home against the Ravens, and, you know, yeah, so that it doesn't get any easier. I mean, the following week they go at New England. They'll have a good chance of winning that one. Then at home against Denver, then they go at Oakland. I mean, they have some winnable games down the stretch here. If you look at their schedule, the two toughest games, obviously, at home this weekend against the Ravens, and then the last week of the season they're at home against the Chiefs. So, you know, But can they find a way to get back? Last season they finished 10-7 and just bombed and gave up a huge lead in the playoffs, right? So, I mean, on the surface, even without Bosa, on paper, they look like they have a good team. They're just not producing. So, definitely a big blow anytime you lose a player like Joey Bosa, though.
Well, it starts with your coaching staff. And that's where they're failing. And it's not just the head coach. you know, it just quits the coordinators too, because they're a well-rounded failure in that organization. Special teams, offense, defense, they're underachieving across the board. So I don't know if what they're doing or how they can fix that. The only way they can fix that there is to just absolutely clean house, because you've got, just like you said, Rob, with the talent, at least on paper, that they have, you know, it starts there, but you also got to look at some of the, you got to look at the players too. So it starts with the coaching staff, number one. And then you got to look at, say, you know, you got to take, I'd take the rest of this season and I'd be dissecting every single game and figure out who out there really wants this. Who out there really is, you know, not going 80%. Because when you're going 80% and the other team's going 100%, you lose the close games. And they lose a lot of close games, and it's just lack of preparation across the board. A lot of blame to go around.
There it is. And we can't talk too much junk about any LA teams, because for some reason Blog Talk loves LA. So every time we start talking about LA teams, it cuts us off too. So, you know, again, we just want to keep that in mind. You know, we're okay. You know, JQ always says go Chargers, you know, so we're still hoping that they kind of pull it out too. But in the interim, it is a challenge, because they do have a pretty talented team, as we all can attest to. And just, you know, it just seems like you said, just there's problem coaching, and just, you know, you talk about having that, you know, having that situation to win, right? You know, they have to learn how to win. You know, so right now it's just tough all around the boards. But
if you look at it from Justin Herbert's standpoint, he was drafted the same year Joe Burrow and Tua got drafted, right? So the three of those QBs were drafted in the top six, and you already see where Burrow's made it to the Super Bowl, and then another year's made it to the AFC Championship game. Justin, you know, 1 year, blew a big lead in the playoffs. Tua hadn't even quite played in the playoffs, but it seems as though he's fallen behind Tua and Burrow based on where his team is performing. So that's got to be frustrating for Justin Herbert, too.
And there's blame to go around there with Herbert, too.
But
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
we'll take a shot. You have to perform, I mean. But like you said, Gary, same thing. You want to get, you know, your players in the position to win. The coaching takes a hit. Special teams takes a hit. Defense takes a hit. I mean, everyone around the organization takes a hit too. But it's tough, because whenever Herbert came out, you see how talented this guy is. So you're like, yeah, this is a rising young quarterback. So it's just tough for sure. So.
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on to the next topic. We're going to talk about the top five NFL teams, and this is going to be fun. This is going to also, guys, I can't wait to tie into our predictions as well. So right at the top, number one, Gary's demise, we got the Eagles at number one. They are still 9-1 with that record. You know, obviously, you know, tough game versus the Vikings, if you will. But man, just, you know, no, I didn't play the Vikings. I'm sorry, guys. I'm thinking of the Broncos. I'm sorry. But again, good game for the Eagles. The number one, number two. I've got the Lions. I'm looking at two different things here. The Lions at 8-2. They're on a three-game winning streak. Three, I've got the Ravens at 8-3. And there's like six teams that are 7-3, right? So I picked the best of the best, right? Now, granted, it's tough because I'm showing some love to the Browns, even though they barely squeaked by their win. And I'm showing some love to the Cowboys at this juncture, because, you know, they had a nice little win streak too. So that's kind of where I've got for the top five. And based upon, you know, these teams are kind of the last five games are kind of 4-1. That's why I picked them based upon their record too. So that's what I've got for the top five for that.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you with the Eagles. 9-1, going on the road in a tough environment, finding a way to win that football game in Kansas City. You got to give them credit for that. And I have the Ravens number two over the Lions. And even though the Lions got a slightly better record than the Ravens, I have the Ravens number two. And the main reason is the Ravens kicked the Lions' ass by like close to 40 points, you know, 3-4 weeks ago,
yeah,
right, in Baltimore. And yeah. I just think they're also playing slightly better, too. So I got, even though Detroit's got a slightly better record than Baltimore, I got Baltimore number two. I have Detroit number three. I have the 49ers four. I know they had their three-game losing streak, but they seem to be right in the ship a little bit with a two-game winning streak as well. So I have them at number four. And I have Miami at number five. And Miami quietly is playing some really good defense. I mean, Jalen Ramsey had some really big plays this past weekend, too. And offensively, they're still a dangerous football team. So I have them at the number five spot. Those are my five. But as to your point, Andre, there are a lot of teams that are jumbled in there at 7-3. The Cowboys have been playing well here of late. Still would like to see what they'll do with a little bit tougher schedule. But they've been playing outstanding. Dak's been playing outstanding here of late, too. So they're definitely one of those teams that's knocking on that door and getting to the top five. Cleveland, as good as they are defensively, they're going to struggle to score points the rest of the season without Deshaun Watson. So I struggle with putting them into the top five. And but Dallas to me is that team that's kind of knocking on that door.
Yeah, and Miami too. You know, I like
for me.
Go ahead.
In Kansas City, of course.
For me,
right?
I have Philly at one because they still got that. But Philly has shown me in the last couple of games that they are definitely beatable.
Yeah.
Okay. They typically don't see alligator arms from their tight end at KC. You know, you don't see Kelce, you know, not making those catches right to him. You know, these sort of things, drop touchdown in the end zone, things like that. That was definitely a winnable game for KC. I was rooting for him. Philadelphia won. It was rounding out to be a really good week for me with the other losses around the NFC, and I wanted to finalize it, of course, with this, with KC winning, but they didn't. But
yeah.
But I got the Eagles at one. The Ravens are playing. The Ravens are playing really good ball, and I think they're a very scary team in the playoffs. I do have the Lions behind the Ravens, and then I have the 49ers, who played a good game this last week as well, and then I've got Dallas in the fifth spot. But there are a lot of good 7-3 teams, like you said. That was my home. That was my homer pick there. But I think they're. But as far as what Dak has done against the top teams, he played phenomenal against Philadelphia.
Mm.
He doubled what Hurts put out. You know, he passed for 70%. You know, so, you know what, three touchdowns and 400 yards. You know, to Hurts, a couple hundred yards. So he outplayed. There was other areas of where they fell short, but as far as the quarterback for the Cowboys, yeah, he's been on the roll, including that Philadelphia game.
Looks good. Yeah, good stuff. And just to kind of, again, kind of circle back to Miami, Rob, it's crazy because, you know, having Jalen Ramsey come back has made that defense really scary. And then, again, you're kind of – it's a kind of situation with the Dolphins. You're not quite sure. They're definitely more of a finesse team. So, you know, they haven't played that well against, you know, top teams. So, you know, again, that's the thing with them. So hopefully we'll see how they kind of progress. I do kind of agree with the 49ers. They've been kind of taking shots. They've had a couple of stumbling blocks too, but they are kind of right in the ship. And having Chase Young has been a huge upgrade to that defense. And
they're going to have a tough game this
weekend. Yeah. And I get you with the Browns, right, too, because again, you know, they're not going to survive. But you know, that defense is really good. So I mean, again, it's like
it
a
is.
Situation. We're not saying they're like the Ravens' defense of the past. We're not saying that by any means, but. You know, that's the dominant defense, but they are playing really well, too. So, you know, that's kind of all these teams are up for debate. And again, yeah, I definitely showed some love to you, Gary, with the Cowboys, just because obviously out of Detroit, they've had the nice little win streak for the last couple of weeks. So, but all these teams can be up for in the top five for sure.
When we were talking about the teams at the beginning of the year, we thought the AFC was so loaded that we may have in these top five throughout the year. We thought that most of the teams in the conversation for the top five were going to be those AFC teams. And it's turned out to be just the opposite of that.
Isn't that crazy? We were thinking that, you know, Justin Herbert and the Chargers are going to be up there. We're like, oh, my God, that's, you know, we were thinking about just how hot they were going to be. We were talking about, you know, obviously Joe Burrow was in the division, you know, obviously. And you're looking at how it kind of played out, like, this is not what we expected at all. So that's just kind of the unique thing about the NFL. Go ahead, Bob.
And that's a good point, Gary, because if you really look at it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, it's a really good point, because when you look at the AFC right now, you know, realistically, there's only three or four teams that got a shot to win this conference now. You know, where going into the season, you thought it was somewhere around 7 to 10. And, I mean, it's down to the Ravens, the Chiefs, maybe the Dolphins and Jaguars, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the only four teams, in my opinion, that's got a legitimate chance of winning this conference. Whereas the Bengals don't have Burrow, the Jets don't have Aaron Rodgers, and the Bills are looking like the Bills from the 1980s. And, I mean, so the Steelers don't have an offense. The Browns don't have an offense. And the Chargers are who we thought they were. And, I mean, so you're down to four teams that probably legitimately have a chance of winning the conference, as opposed to going into the season, you thought you had 10 legitimate teams in the AFC.
Yeah, that's just tough, too, because, you know, the way that Josh Allen is so up and down, like you talked about, you saw the extent of, you know, of obviously Herbert saw that, too, but then it's just crazy because, you know, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and then we were hoping that we're going to see something better with you know, Trevor Lawrence, and he's kind of, you know, in the middle there, but, yeah, it's just an interesting situation for sure. All right, gentlemen. Rob, let's kind of get to your top 60 NFL prospects. So I know you want to bounce around that too, but again, that's on the Talking Sports with the 12th man page. So I'll let you go ahead and introduce that, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. I got Drake May back at the number one spot, quarterback from North Carolina. Even though they've taken a few losses here over the last few weeks, they've taken some hits defensively. I got Marvin Harrison Jr. at the number two spot, obviously the number one wide receiver in the draft. We got Caleb Williams, still an elite prospect. I have him at number three. I mean, USC has really suffered defensively, and they suffered with the offensive line, and Caleb has been running for his life a lot this season, still making some plays happen. A guy to watch is Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA. I mean, he's really climbing a lot of draft boards, got a really good length. I mean, he caused havoc on USC this past week, and UCLA whipped USC 38-20. And he's turning out to be possibly the number one defensive player in the draft. He's got that long arms you look for in an edge rusher. He's got elite athleticism as well. So he's a guy to watch. Keon Coleman, wide receiver from Florida State, another big 6'4 wide receiver. Kid from Louisiana. I'm not sure how he got away from LSU. But that's another story. We'll save that for another conversation. But he's having a big-time year as well, even though Florida State just lost the quarterback for the remainder of the season. And Jaden Daniels, all the way up to number six, quarterback from LSU, who's now in the top three when it comes into the Heisman conversation. You look at our Talking Sports with a 12-man Facebook page. I actually got some heat for having him in the 20s in my last top 60. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I saw that. Was that Roger? Was Roger talking to you?
Yeah, I saw that. I got some heat. Why is he this low? and you look around, the talent evaluators are steadily moving them up their draft boards right now. When you look at how he's improved his accuracy throwing the ball down the field and in his running ability, the only thing that scares me about Jaden, he don't slide, man. That guy's got elite speed, and he just runs. But he don't slide. So he's got a slender frame. So hopefully he will learn to have that balance
protect
of
himself,
getting out of bounds and sliding. But, you know, he actually leads college football with an 8.2 average per rush. That's leading everybody in the country, including running backs. And so that's crazy right now, what he's doing. Just a bad year for LSU when to have a bad defense when they have such an elite offense. Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU at number 7. Alu Fashanu, offensive tackle, Penn State, number 8. He's turned out to be the best offensive tackle. Another wide receiver from LSU, 6'4", Brian Thomas, Jr. He's at number 9. Amarius Mims, offensive tackle, Georgia. Had some injuries this year, but still an elite prospect. J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama. And Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. And Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama at 13. So that comes around out the top 13 there. So I'll skip around a little bit. Got Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia at 15. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama at 17. Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington. He had a big game this past week against Oregon State. Chop Robinson, edge rusher, Penn State at number 20. And shout out to Oregon State. Talisi Fuagu, offensive tackle from Oregon State at number 23. Jared Verse from Florida State at number 24. So you guys can check out our listeners. Y'all can check out the rest of the top 60 on our Talking Sports with the 12th Man page. Got Bo Nix, just a couple more, down to 34 into the second round, which will probably still get into the first round. And Michael Penix Jr. is down at number 53.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that, Rob, with Bo Nix. Would that move him up if he beats Oregon State and wins the Heisman this year?
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to come down to his performance and his production. Obviously, if you have a big game against Oregon State and then turns around and have a big game against Washington in the Pac-12, obviously you're going to see talent evaluators, you know, raise his grades up because of his performance in big games, right? So, I mean, obviously there's a good opportunity there. And, you know, we'll have to see depending on where Oregon is, if they make the playoff or not. If they don't make the playoff, then what does Bo Nix decide to play in a bowl game? But does he decide just start to get ready for the draft here too? So, you know, we'll kind of have to see, you know, where he stands with that. But even though he's rated 34 here, you know, quarterbacks typically going to get drafted higher than where they're graded, right? So he very well still be a mid to late first round pick.
Yeah, this is seems like a pretty well balanced draft, right? Because there's a lot of good prospects. Whether you're looking for quarterback, you know, you're looking for wide receiver, it's pretty deep in that. You know, offensive tackle, there's some great tackles. We've got some good edge players. You know, we got some good. Cornerbacks.
Good depth at corner.
Like whatever
too,
your flavor is, whatever your flavor is, you're going to basically get some good players, you know, in this draft too. So it's a really, really good draft too.
Yeah.
Normally you see like kind of top, there's a ton of quarterbacks. There's a ton of quarterbacks, as there always is. But it seems like all around the board, you know, I'm looking at there's like some top tackles, some top edges, we've seen the devaluation of the running backs. We've seen running backs in that draft that's going to get dropped down early. But other than that, really good draft as far as it plays.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a little less for tight ends too. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at
it. And to your point, Andre, this is a deep draft for a lot of the important positions, quarterback, offensive tackle. Wide receiver has become an elite position in the league now, whereas – teams in the past didn't draft wide receivers in the first round, but that's changed. Wide receivers, you know, you used to be quarterbacks, offensive tackle, edge rushers, and corners were your four elite position groups. But wide receiver has moved into that category. And if you look at this draft, you're going to have, you got your deep at receiver, you deep at offensive tackle, you deep at wide receiver, you deep at the edge, and you deep at corner, which are all of your elite positions in the NFL. I only have one running back here in the top 60, and that's Travion Henderson from Ohio State, and he just got in at number 60.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Jake Hughes, you want my guy?
Yes, sir. What's up, Neil?
Welcome. We were just talking about the top five.
They told us you was eating Thanksgiving food already, man. That's why you were late.
Yeah, no. I had to do some stuff with the people that work for a second afterwards, around a little later. Something, you know, Thanksgiving shit. I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
Good day. What's up?
Doing good, man.
You missed an amazing sponsorship, you know, being sponsored by Gary Chandeliers and then also being sponsored by Carnation Milk, you know.
Yeah, they just, the Chandeliers, they just start hating on you as soon as you wake up in the morning, because if the Chandeliers ain't hating on you by Gary, then it ain't right. Gary's a hater.
He was a hater.
He's the new habitual line stepper.
Hater.
You're ready for your Go Michigan text at about 11:59 Eastern time on Saturday morning.
I won't see it until much later. I turn my phone off when I wake up.
Well, you better get them early.
I'll get them early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to play like that. I turn my phone completely off.
Joined us right at the halfway point, and we're going to jump right into the predictions, which is perfect. So let's get this started, fellas. So we got I hope Mike is doing well, by the way, JQ. I always think about him for the Packers, but I wonder what he's going through right now. Some suffering, you know, at the helm with the Jordan.
I saw him today, actually.
Oh, wow, okay. Good deal. Hope he's doing good.
Yeah. He's good.
Now, I would say normally it's crazy, right? In the past, if you played the Lions, it was pretty much an easy win, especially on Thanksgiving. And now, not so fast, Monfrere. It's not an easy, but, you know, it was like the sacrifice. Like, come on, man, you're playing the Lions. You know, come on. It was one of the situations where Gary's shaking his head. But, you know, typically they put up a sort of fight, but, you know,
they've lost like six in a row, haven't they?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
I'll
look it up, but this year I it's gonna be different, man. So you know, they're playing.
I'm just talking about their overall record on Thanksgiving.
I don't think it's very scary. Let me see. But anyway, now we have you know, Jordan Love, like we talked about, you know, again, he's been struggling, if you will. But, you know, the Lions have been playing well. So what say you in this traditional rivalry? I've got the Lions in this instance because it's at home. You know, obviously with Jordan Love struggles, if you will. But, you know, like I said, that's what right out the gate. What do you have, Rob, coming out for this one?
Oh, no, I like the Lions. You know how I feel about these Thursday games. You got to be just three times better than the team for me to pick the road team in these matchups. And, you know, the Lions are the better team. They're at home. The Packers have been a Jekyll and Hyde team this year. I know the Lions had to come back and beat the Bears. I think there could have been a little bit of a wake-up call for them. I look for them to come out playing a lot better this coming week. And I think they'll beat the Packers by at least 10 points in this game. That 1-2 punch of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs is really looking really formidable for that offense. And I know and the quarterback started off the game with a few INTs, so they kind of got them behind the eight ball a little bit there. But I look for the Lions to win this game.
Hold on, really quick. Hold on, JQ. This is to Gary's point and your point, JQ. Overall, the Lions are 37-44-2 on Thanksgiving. But since 2000, they are 6-17 on Thanksgiving. So they have lost 6 straight.
Okay.
And then most recently the 28-25 loss to the Bills in 2022. So just a little trivia as far as overall record. So go ahead, Jakey.
Yeah, I don't really know that for gambling purposes. There was some parlays. They were trying to, like, you know, put on all the lines where it's going to break the streak. Which, while I was pretty sure it was 6. But I think last week with the Lions and the Bears, kind of like with Arizona and Houston, you know, where they kind of just like walk a little bit in the beginning and then they turned it on. And I think you're going to have something really similar because you get the Lions playing at home on Thanksgiving, and I believe Houston plays Jacksonville this week, so they might have been looking ahead when they were playing Arizona last week. So sometimes you have that. We don't think you have it as much in NFL as you do in college, but I think it shows up sometimes. But to your point, Green Bay, everybody throws for their most yards against the Chargers, so you got to kind of take that piece out of it. But also, Green Bay has lost Aaron Jones. They lost the other running back. Dylan is questionable with a groin injury. So if Jordan Love doesn't have a run game and the rookie tight end Luke Musgrave is on the IR because he had a kidney laceration last week in that game. So now you're taking Jordan Love, who's up and down anyway, but you're taking away all his top running back, his top tight end. His wide receivers were still not held on. The Detroit team that I think got a little of a wake-up call last week, I'm going to take the triple 14.
Yeah,
I would. I'm picking Detroit too. I'd pick Detroit if it was a game in Green Bay as well. I think they're just a much better football team.
Yeah.
And I think it's good. I can easily see it being a 14-point game. My only hesitation on that is divisional games like this. You know, sometimes they go sideways on teams. But I think I am picking Detroit.
The only thing that may bring that down a little bit is Jair Alexander plays. So he's probably the only cornerback that can maybe slow St. Brown down. But if Jair Alexander doesn't play and is not 100% healthy, and he can beat LaPorta and St. Brown over the middle and deep, it's going to be a long day for Green Bay secondary.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the 1-2 points, as Rob said earlier, Montgomery and Jameer Gibbs, they're going to do it. All right.
And the Lions already beat them by 2 touchdowns early this year in Green Bay as well.
Yeah. All right, Gary, here you go. The Commanders at the Cowboys. Boom, boom, boom.
I'm going with the boys, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it ended up being a nail biter. That happens. You know, and it happens in the NFC East a hell of a lot. So I was completely shocked how we annihilated the Giants. I was talking with my buddy who's also a Cowboy fan, and we beat the Giants twice, and we beat them up bad. And next year, if it had the same point spreads, I'd want the Cowboys to win, but I would take the points. Because they're normally not like that, and I don't see this being a blowout. I don't see the Cowboys blowing out the Redskins. The Commanders. I hope that they win. I think they'll win, but I don't think it'll be a blowout.
No, I see Cowboys winning this one by at least 10 points too, as well. The Commanders traded their whole defensive line. And, they're not getting any kind of heat on the quarterback right now. The defense is struggling. I mean, Sam Howell has been somewhat of a pleasant surprise for them. I just don't see this game being competitive. I like the Cowboys to win. I like the way Dak's been playing here the last 3 to 4 weeks as well. He's starting to build some rapport with his wideouts and the tight end, Jake Ferguson, as well. I like the Cowboys in this one. And I think the Commanders will struggle to score in this game as well.
I think if this game was played on Sunday, it would be a bigger spread in terms of points, to your point, in a short week. In the divisional game, I think the Cowboys win. I think the Cowboys win probably on the number of 10. I think they sweep off a little bit. And for whatever reason, you know, Dallas and Washington, it's crazy. Washington could put all the points up on Philadelphia, but they can't do anything with the Giants. So go figure. That's just it's just wild. But to your point, it's those divisional battles. I think it'll be another one for a little bit. But I still think the Cowboys win my team.
Let me tell y'all something. The NFL will fail a geography test. How is Dallas in the East? I know why they're doing it. It's because of the rivalry. But I'm in for
this. They'll never change that.
No, never will.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm agreeing. I feel like Eric Bieniemy is coaching his ass off, but it's tough because, Ron Rivera, they just basically, like you said, Rob, they traded all the defense, and they have not given the Commanders any favors. It's like dead men walking for the Commanders, but, what a tough situation that put him in. All right, next game, 49ers and the Seahawks. Geno Smith was, he had an elbow situation. They said he's optimistic to play, and Kenneth Walker is going to play, so that's going to be tough. I think they're going to give 49ers going to be all over the Seahawks, go ahead, Rob, your thoughts about that.
Hey, these road teams so far, these not counting week one, these road teams are 3-7 on Thursday night games. But this will be one of these games where the road team will win. The 49ers will go on the road and beat Seattle. Seattle's another team that's got they're 6-4, they got a winning record, but they're a Jekyll and Hyde team as well. They'll look good one week and another week they're scratching their head. I looked up and said, how in the Sam Hill they lost that game to the Rams this past Sunday? And, just boneheaded mistakes that cost them that game. And that's not going to work against the 49ers. I won't be surprised if 49ers are going to roll to beat. I know 10 seems to be my magic number so far tonight, but I won't be surprised if 49ers are going there and beat them by 10 points.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing. And the reason why I think it's based at 10 is because real quiet like Dell has got, I was looking at a pair of quarterbacks on that defense. But with Geno Smith being banged up, Kenneth Walker, even though Chaplin runs the ball pretty hard, I don't think Geno's going to be 100%. I don't think San Francisco can necessarily blow them out because I don't think they're going to get big and supposed to play in the passing game from the wide receivers. I think it could be a Christian McCaffrey, Kittle kind of game up the middle, but that takes time. It takes time off the clock, and it means less possessions for San Francisco. So I'm with you. That 10-13 range for me, San Francisco wins.
Well, I've watched these teams, play, and you were talking about L.A. going up to Seattle and beating them. They've done that for years, and it seems like the Rams get up for Seattle, and then Seattle really gets up for the 49ers. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I picked the 49ers to win, but it would not surprise me, even with as beat up as Seattle is in that environment, for them to upset the 49ers. I think it's going to be a close game.
It's beautiful,
good stuff. All right, gentlemen, let's get into the next game. Good stuff for sure, Gary. This is an intriguing game for me, guys. You've got the Jaguars at the Texans. Now, again, we talked about young quarterbacks earlier, JQ, and C.J. Stroud has been playing really, really great. And I'm sure Trevor Lawrence has been loving to play like he is, but just, give him his flowers, as the kids say. And the last time that the Jaguars and Texans played, the Texans won 37-17. And this is week three. So is there some get back for the Jaguars this is a huge game because now if there's a tiebreaker, obviously the Texans have a situation where they can actually take the lead in the division. So this is a big game. So what say you on this one? The Texans to come back and, make a point, or the Jaguars going to try to come back and say, all right, we're going to try to wrestle the hold of the division?
I just like the Texans weapons right now over the Jaguars. Like, I know Ingram had a good year last year. He's kind of a little quieter. Really, after a year off, it's been up and down. He's had like one or two good games, but he's not been who I think they thought he was going to be to Kirk with all that money they gave him. But that man, that little dude, Tank Dell, is acting a complete fool for the Texans, right?
Yes, he is.
If you get Nico Collins back, and I said, man, why would Dalton Schultz lead the Cowboys in the situation he was in there to go to the Texans?
How'd you talk about that?
Yeah, like, yeah, well, Dalton Schultz is a smart guy. Apparently got the bag and went to a winning situation. I just like the way that offense is playing, the misdirection. They started running the ball better against Cincinnati and again last week against Arizona. Then they get running back, quarterback, to pair with Singletary. I don't know. I just kind of like the makeup of that Texas team. They're likely dangerous because they just don't care anybody. So I think this is a really close game. I would take the Texas by 4.
Good stuff.
Yeah, this is a game I struggle with, too. And, you know, as Andre alluded to, the Texans with the Jaguars, first time they played early this year. And I just think the Jaguars are going to be extremely motivated after that ass whooping they took early this year. I think they realize that they're better than that. And we've seen Trevor Lawrence have some pretty good games outside of the 49ers game a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he looked like he's getting a good rapport going with Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley offensively.
Yeah.
When they've been able to get Etienne going, they've been really good. I think the Jaguars go on a road and win a real close game here. I'm going to say they win by a field goal, competitive game, but I just think they're going to come in there kind of hungry after the ass whooping they took early in the season.
Entertaining game. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, this was a game where I was kind of leaning more towards the home teams in all of these picks, and this is one where I had picked the home team and highlighted underneath them, and then I did the same thing with the Jags because I don't really know how this game is going to go. I know Texans kicked their ass early on. I know that's got to play a role in it. What kind of a role is this Texans quarterback going to stay on? Is he going to keep his role going and this is how he's going to play? Because he's been playing good. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to circle Texans on this one. And I think it's going to be a close game. 21-17.
Good stuff.
Good score. Okay.
All right. Next, the last game is another intriguing matchup here. You've got the Bills and the Eagles. And you said it earlier, Gary, the Eagles can be beat. You know, you had the Bills firing Ken Dorsey. They had your boy, Rob, Joe Brady calling the plays. And he seemed to stabilize the situation. Is he going to do it enough now as a situation? Because, again, I think we talked about are the Bills a Jekyll and Hyde team, right? Because, again, you want them to run the ball, and, you know, you have Josh Allen doing superhuman stuff, and it's like, come on, man, what's going on with the Bills? They have a really tough stretch coming up. You know, they got the Eagles, the Chiefs, and they got a bye, and then they play the Cowboys. So the next three games are going to be pretty critical for them. But then they have the Chargers and something else too. But let's talk about this game. What's happening in this game? Are they going to be up to play the Eagles in this particular matchup? Rob?
I think the Bills are going to be competitive in this game. I really do. I think they are going to be, definitely a lot more competitive than they were a few weeks ago in that Broncos game. I think Joe Brady will do a good job solidifying that passing game. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to solidify that running game, long term. But I definitely think the Bills will be competitive in this football game. But I think in the end, the Eagles are still going to be too much for them, right? When you look at what they have going in the passing game, what they have going with DeAndre Swift and Jalen Hurts running the football, and no one can stop that that rugby play that they have, right? You get into any kind of third and one, third and fourth.
That's terrible. They
jumped
over, jumped around. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop that mess.
You can't. I think the Bills are going to make this a football game. I really do. But I think in the end, I think Philadelphia pulls it out like 24-20 in a competitive football game.
I agree. I don't have anything else to add to that. I mean, yeah, I'm taking the Eagles. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Bills come out motivated, trying to use it as a measuring stick. especially after firing Ken Dorsey. They got to prove that that wasn't knee jerk and wasn't the, you know, scapegoat kind of firing that we all know it to be, that they're trying to play off. So I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think it's going to be similar to what you saw. The Bills might even get out to a lead, but Philadelphia made fantastic adjustments against Kansas City. I think they do the same thing against Buffalo and they win.
Yeah, because, you know, all they have to do is get 9 yards, and then they know they're going to get a first down. The rest of our teams in the league, they're going to get 10 yards. The Eagles only have to get 9 yards, and they're going to get that first down.
They can pick up two yards with that play.
I know. And then with, you know, the mobility with Jalen Hurts, you know, him, you know, he's such a good runner, and it's going to be tough for the Bills. I'm hoping for the Bills, but I'm expecting the Eagles to win. I think it'll be fairly close. I think the Eagles will just make enough of those crucial plays and crucial first downs to keep the clock moving and to win a fairly close game. But if we were talking about all the teams from the AFC, the Bills were also one of those teams we were talking about at the beginning of the season. And they're
in the middle.
You know, I think that they have kind of a similar season to, not quite as bad, but kind of in the same ballpark as underachieving like the Chargers. You know, this is a team that we thought was going to be able to compete for a, you know, for the AFC championship, and they're nowhere near that.
Yeah, you were looking at last year, the top teams, whenever Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes were going, you know, back and forth, like, oh, man. Then, and Joe Burrow's up there, too, obviously. Shout out to Joe Burrow. But we were kind of seeing the fight that was kind of going back and forth, and you're like, man, this is an ascending team. And then, like we talked about, this year it just hasn't been, for whatever reason, it hasn't been the situation. He was on the path, Josh Allen, to have an MVP season, right? So, you know, he was the next guy. So it's just kind of crazy to see that as well. All right, good stuff. I got the Eagles, too, as well, in that, too. And, let's get ready to talk about this. I do want to kind of talk about some college football predictions, because I would not be remiss, because this is rivalry weekend. Obviously, we're talking about faithful and all that fun stuff, but this is it. We got the Civil War. We talked about that really quickly before we started. So let's talk about that. You know, we got to talk about the big one. You know, Michigan at Ohio State. And, again, there's other games, you know, we got, you know, Iron Bowl, all the stuff, for, you know, but still, we're on the show.
No damn Iron Bowl.
Gary, the Civil War's back at Oregon. Nick's do enough to pull this off. Come on now, what you got?
I think it's going to be one hell of a game. We were talking about this earlier, and I think Oregon's going to have enough to beat them, but Oregon has been right here in the same scenario going into the Civil War, lose the Civil War and not make the college football playoffs with a loss to Oregon State. Oregon State's a solid football team, and they're going to give Oregon everything that they want and more. They're a well-coached team. I want Oregon to win. I'm picking Oregon to win, but I think it's going to be a nail biter. I can't even pick a score. I have no idea.
So I agree with that, too. I like Oregon in this game. I think it's going to be something like 30-24. It's going to be competitive. It's a rivalry football game. I know we was talking about it before we started the show. You know, Oregon State really dominated that second half against Washington. They just shot themselves in the foot and dug themselves a big hole in the first half of that game, and they couldn't really overcome it and wound up losing by 2 points. So they're a physical football team. Fuaga, we talked about him in the top 60. He's one of the best offensive linemen in the country. He played for Oregon State. But obviously, I think what's going to come down to in the end of this game, Oregon has a better quarterback, Bo Nix, and I think he's going to prevail, you know, and help lead them to victory. And and have a chance to win the Pac-12 championship.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm taking JQ. Oregon as well. Same scenario. Yep.
Gotcha. JQ, does Ryan Day have to beat Michigan on Saturday? Does he have to beat Michigan?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yes. Well, no, wow. Listen. Okay. Listen. You have gotten your doors blown off. You went and hired a defense coordinator, brought another one in. He got his doors blown off just in the running game. Now you get them again when you've been playing fantastic defense all year, but not seeing that kind of running attack. And you have no Harbaugh. I don't know what other excuse you have. I understand our quarterback play is not as good as Michigan with J.J. McCarthy, and that's another subplot that they chose Kyle McCord, I think, as trying to get Marvin Harrison Jr. as a package deal, so if they were high school teammates, to get Marvin Harrison Jr. to Ohio State. But then J.J. McCarthy grew up a Buckeyes fan, and he took that personal, as he should. And he chose Michigan just for that reason, to beat Ohio State, and he's done it twice. So, Ryan Day, it's on you to be a team with no Harbaugh and to have the quarterback that you picked over the quarterback that's on the other sideline. This is a big game for him, bro. They got to win this game.
Yeah,
I'll be thinking of him. Okay, go ahead.
That's all in there.
You know, last week I kind of alluded to, I think Michigan will win this football game. I actually thought that Jim Harbaugh was going to get reinstated and will be coaching these last two games of the regular season. But I can't imagine Ohio State losing to Michigan without Jim Harbaugh. I just don't know if they're going to be able to make the in-game changes, the in-game necessary adjustments without having Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines here. So, to JQ's point, I mean, this is a prime opportunity for Ohio State to win this game. And then when you look at from a skill position standpoint, Ohio State's got better receivers. I mean, they probably equal at the running back position. Maybe Michigan has a slight edge at the quarterback position. But when you look at the NFL prospects on the defensive side of the football, Ohio State has more. So this is definitely a game, in my opinion, Ryan Day has to win without Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. So obviously, I think it's going to be a close football game, and I'm going to go 23-20 Ohio State on the road.
Wow. JQ, do you have a score?
I'm like you. I do not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is going to be one. I don't think it's – if I were Michigan, I'd be saying, you know, and I'm sure they're saying it's us against the world, you know, and pumping their players up and getting them ready to go because, you know, they feel they were, you know, I don't know, not handled properly or whatever, that their coach should be there, and they're going to rally around that. That's what I would be worried about.
I am.
That's what I am worried about with that. I think that, to me, I think just the opposite of what you were thinking, Rob. I think they're going to be just fine in those in-game scenarios. But what I don't like is they're going to be so motivated. I think they're even going to be even more motivated without their head coach because he should have been there, and he was wrongly, you know, out of there. I think they're going to be so motivated that I give the upper hand to Michigan in this game, in a close game, because of that.
Shocker, you took Michigan. Who didn't see that coming?
I'm not sent, but I'm hoping that the Buckeyes go in there because I hate Mocha Harbaugh.
There you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize that music. That's the end of our live portion of the program. Next week, East Coast, down from Boston all the way down to Miami. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 p.m. New England, the New England area, we want to know how y'all feel about being in last place in that division and looking up to Miami down there in the south of you guys. So we want to hear from y'all on the East Coast next Wednesday night. Central Time Zone, Chicago. What are y'all going to do with Justin Fields? You going to keep him? You going to trade him? That's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And Mountain Time Zone, how about New Mexico State? going on the road, kicking Auburn's ass in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear from y'all in New Mexico. Shout out to New Mexico. 9-3.
Shout out.
Well, to New Mexico.
I love New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. And in Los Angeles, we want to hear from y'all. It's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also to the north, Fresno, of course, to Jackson, Mississippi, and California.
Yeah.
Yes, I got it in. I got it in. All of that. Sorry. I was excited because Block Talk was having technical issues. I couldn't, like, fade it out quick enough. But all that came in. Sorry, JQ. You do your little thing. Go charge with whatever you got for us, my guy.
Yeah, no. That's all I had. All the stuff I feel like we can talk about. I just, been a long day. I've been golfing and working. So I'm getting ready to jump off here. I love you guys. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
You as well. Gentlemen, we appreciate you.
Have a fantastic Thanksgiving to you, and good luck to your team. I hope they win.
Hey, same to you.
Hey, don't talk.
I chose Oregon. I picked Oregon.
We'll get cut off.
Go ahead.
I said LeBron and love. They're picking each other's team.
I do have one more thing to say before we get off. One of the topics was, what's next for USC? a lot of hype and a lot of crying about the Oregon Ducks.
If we were being serious about that, they need to hire a legitimate defensive coordinator. that's the main thing they need. Because Lincoln Riley promised all offseason, they went to the transfer portal, the defense is going to be better, the defense is going to be better, the defense is going to be better. The defense looked worse. I know we was having some fun. I mean, they could have 11 on the field, and they wouldn't have been able to stop the four of us. They were that bad. And you realize they started the season off 6-0. And they finished 7-5. So they finished 1-5 in their last six games. And check this out. They very easily could have been 5-7. They beat Cal 50-49. Cal hadn't been good. When was the last time Aaron Rodgers was there? 20 some years ago? Cal hadn't been good for 20 years. Yeah, but Cam Jordan and Aaron Rodgers were there, man. Come on, man. That felt like 20 years ago. They beat Cal by 1 point. And then they beat Arizona in double overtime, 43-41. This team could very well be 5-7 and not being in a bowl game. But it's been 7-5. You are what your record says you are. So they get to go to a bowl game. But, yeah, very disappointing for a team that started the year off in the top five.
Be careful what you wish for. They really wanted Lincoln Riley, didn't they? And they got him, and then it hasn't been. I mean, you talk about the offense and getting all those recruits, but like you said, Rod, it just hasn't been great on the defensive side at all. Oh, my God. So that's tough. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of good football, and no, there will be no go Michigan. I can't stand the Wolverines. So, but I don't like the Harbaughs. The Harbaughs, they prepare their teams, and they're good coaches. I didn't like Harbaugh when he played as a player, captain comeback, and all that bullshit.
Gary
is really going on.
Man.
Go Buckeyes.
JQ, what did you put in Gary's drink?
I love it. I am here for it.
Sorry, I drank the whole bottle, guys.
Yes.
Wow. Hey, I've got to say, sometimes it's tough being a $6 million, billionaire and, getting pulled over. So, the privilege is just, it's tough, man, you're rich and a billionaire. So just sometimes things can be tough getting pulled over. So shout out to Jim Irsay, just
He's an
crazy
asshole.
Comments, man. How is you don't like me because I'm a billionaire. Like, what the hell? Come on, my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought that was hilarious seeing that little story, man. That was crazy, man. So, but, yeah, we'll wrap this up. I know, Jake, you've had a long day. There's some things. We're going to see what's happening with Ohtani. I can't wait to see what's happening with that. Again, Marquette knocking off Kansas. That was a really, that was some good, man, huge stuff for that too. Because, again, but we talked about Bill Self and he got that extension. So, Kansas, you got a huge target on your back, man. But, it's just been good.
You know what happened today?
Yeah.
Cincinnati beat the brakes off of Georgia Tech in basketball.
You know what? I was going to say something about that. I declined to say anything because, I figured I was going to get off the show. Congratulations. again,
I'm just messing with
James Sotomayor is, you don't have our team yet. I'm taking all kinds of L's, but I'm hoping we got a good point guard next year. About damn time, because we ain't got nothing, man. It's just disgusting, man. So they were lighting up threes, and this shit was just disgusting, man. But congratulations.
I appreciate you.
I know you did.
You picking Georgia Tech over Georgia this weekend, Andre?
Oh, hell no, nah, man. You know what? We're going to be close. It's going to be close. It's going to be close. That's the start. They're going to mess around with us.
Jake, before you go.
It's going to be close at the 0-0.
I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on Reeves as the sixth man for the Lakers.
I think he's more mentally equipped to handle it than D'Angelo Russell. And my thing is, if you give him that check, I don't know if people like you paid him to be a six man. It doesn't have to be that way forever. But I think for right now, you can give him the, hey, this is your unit, and it's yours to run with. And then if he can take that and run with it and make them, be somewhat proficient, then you can do what you wanted to say and give LeBron a little bit more rest and not have to play him 40 minutes a game. So for me, for right now, they get it stabilized, they get everybody back from injury. I'm not upset about it. It's the only thing they can get off the reads to buy into that notion of this would be your unit. There is no, hey, where's LeBron, where's AD for right now. It's you and four other dudes. You go out and you lead it and be that guy. You have to appeal to his kind of his ego in that way. So we'll see. But I'm not opposed to it because he doesn't have to worry about sharing it and, by turn your turn. He can just go out there and go Benny Johnson on him and be a microwave.
The only thing that I like about it, I would want is he's a good player down the stretch. I would want him in the game down the stretch. Watching him, I'm a fan of his. I think he's a fantastic young player.
Yeah, but the sixth man thing is more first to third quarter. You're going to go with the horses and your dogs, that you can rely on those five down the stretch when you got to go get a bucket and win the game. So I'm less worried about that. I don't think – now, Dr. Ham says, hey, he's my sixth man, so he ain't playing, in the crunch time in the fourth quarter. And I have a problem with that, right? Putting him hard-coded into that role. But first, the third quarter, to kind of, stagger the minutes to make sure you don't burn LeBron out in December, right, and getting hurt in February, probably playing too many minutes. I'm okay with that, but you got to know where your bread is buttered. He got to play with that closing five, down the stretch. And I agree, he's a dog.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
I think the move of bringing Austin Reeves off the bench is a smart move, in my opinion. It gives you some more points with that second unit. And to JQ's point, down the stretch, you're going to play your best five anyway. So, I actually like the move.
I think he's I think he's in that best five. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like the move giving your team another scorer off the bench. I mean, your starting unit, Anthony Davis, LeBron, this dude has been playing insane to start the season at his age. It's incredible. D'Angelo Russell, they need to get a little bit more out of him. But I think getting Austin Reeves to come off the bench – he's got to adjust his game a little bit. Teams have adjusted to his game so far this season. They're not falling for his pump fakes like they did last season. So they have but he's still getting his points. He's still scoring 17 to 20 points or so off the bench. I like the Pelicans to do that with C.J. McCollum. I like for the Pelicans whenever he comes back, bring him off the bench. Give him some points coming in with the second unit, play your best five going down the stretch, of course. But I like the move for the Lakers, putting Austin Reeves in the second unit.
All Okay. All right, gentlemen. Have a great Thanksgiving, and I'm sure we'll be texting each other throughout the weekend. And be safe, gentlemen. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, John.
Be safe.
Have a good day, y'all.
Appreciate you guys.